Oh my. Okay, thank you. All right. Open your Bibles, please, this morning to the book of Psalms 33. Psalms 33, and while you're finding your places in the Word of God, let me say it is again my joy and my privilege to be here at Faith Baptist Church. I believe it's been about 2 years since I've been back, and so good to be back, good to have my wife, Miss Polly, with me today, and it's good to see all of you, and I appreciate Brother Don and his wife, and thank you for asking me to come to preach, Brother Don, in these meetings, and I've been praying for you. I heard that you wasn't doing well, because I talked to you by phone, and you said you wasn't, but I'm glad to see you out this morning. And then my friend, Brother Dave Peters, of many years, preached a lot for him when he's pastoring. And good to see you, Brother Dave. Thank you for that wonderful testimony. My wife and I try to place 8 Bibles a month in the hand of a missionary through Beams Ministries. And we get letters all the time, but before I read the scripture, I'll share this one with you. And so, as Brother Dave said in front of the Bible, if you send Bibles, your name and address goes in front. And I received a letter from Africa. This pastor had written me, and he said, because of you and your wife, my congregation now has a copy of the Word of God. And he had the only copy in his church. Isn't this amazing? When you get letters like that, it's worth every effort.
Amen.
And I recommend the ministry of Beams Ministries. I've said this, last week, in a meeting in Mount Air where I was at. God has given us 2 powerful weapons. Number one is prayer.
Yes.
And seemingly that God's people don't use that weapon enough, only when we get in trouble.
Right.
And then the second is the Word of God.
Amen.
These two are the greatest powerful instruments that God's given us. And I thank God for that, don't you?
Amen.
All right, if you couldn't, would you stand this morning, if you could, if you can't, I understand, in honor to the reading of God's Word in prayer time. And I appreciate the Sunday school time, Brother Bill. And I appreciate those words. He's talking about that circle. And I have a book in the motorhome. And he's talking about that circle. You draw it to have revival. Gypsy Smith quoted that. Went to Gypsy Smith and asked him, how can you have revival? He gave that same quotation. And what a blessing. All right, in Psalms 33, I begin at verses number 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all of his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom that he had chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fasteth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in him. My heavenly Father, I come before you on this Lord's Day morning, and that name which is above every name, my Savior, the Lord Jesus. Well, now thank you again, Lord, that we can say along the psalmist David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, Father, we have worshiped you in congregation singing and Sunday school time and special songs and in testimony by Brother Peters. Now it's time to worship you in the preaching of the Word of God. God, would you help this unworthy servant? Give me holy unction as I preach for you. I'd ask you to bless this church. Lord, bless your visitors. Thank you, Brother Don and his wife. And I pray for them. And Brother Dave and his wife and the minister, I pray for him. God, would you touch our hearts and give revival this week. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated and thank you for standing. In honor to the reading of the Word of God. I want to preach for a few moments today on this thought, why the saints of God should rejoice in our God. Let me give you a brief introduction to our message and then the message today. Psalms 33 is a special psalm. It's one of the only four psalms that likes a title. The others are Psalms 1, 2, and 10. All the other psalms have some sort of a title, and many commentators believe that this psalm is linked to Psalms 32. Now, in that psalm, David praises the Lord for forgiving his sins. And Psalms 32 closes with a command to rejoice. And verses 11, Psalms 33 opens with the same command. Now, while that these two psalms are very different in their content, they are both centered on the theme of praise. In Psalms 32, God is to be praised because he forgives sin. In Psalms 33, God is to be praised because he is in control of both of those things that makes God worthy to be praised. Now, by the way of introduction, let's consider this call to praise the Lord. In verses number 1, we find the saints of God commanded to rejoice. Now, this word means to be overcome, to cry out, to give a ringing cry, to shout for joy. So this is a command for loud vocal praise to be lifted up to the Lord. We find again in verses 1 also tells us that praise is common. For the upright, the word common means beautiful. There are many emotions that can grip our hearts. We can, listen, be overcome with pride, hate, malice, anger, envy, unforgiveness, and a host of other things. But in verses number 2, calls on us to use our musical skills to praise him. When instruments are played for his glory, it honors him because music is another form to praise the Lord. May I pause here for just a moment in this introduction. There are songs that goes in the name of God today that does not honor him. There is music played today in the name of God that does not honor God. But you can never improve on old-time music like we've heard this morning and the old hymns. And God honors that. Today, they time in our world, society is trying to change everything. But verse 3 calls on us to sing unto him a new song. Now, in Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 22 and verses 23 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Then again, I think about this. It should be clear that we have ample reason every day to exalt him for his grace, for his blessings, and for his goodness toward us. Again, we find here in verse number 3 also calls on us to praise him in such a way that they are heard by others. Now, that does not mean that we're to praise him so that others will see us, but we're to praise him so that us will be aware of who he is and what he has done and what he's doing for his people. And then again, let me say, now having commanded us to praise the Lord, the psalmist now gives us a reason why that we are to praise him. And so I want to walk through this psalm this morning and preach on this subject, why the saints should rejoice in our God. So let me show you the reason why he is worthy of our praise. First of all, we should rejoice in his word. In verses 4 through verses number 9, for the word of the Lord is right, and all of his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Now notice verses number 6. He said, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Now first of all here we find in verses 4 in the first part, his word is precious. Now the word is right, has the idea of upright, straight, correct. This word reminds us that God's word sets the standards for righteousness and morality. Now, I've often said this, church, down through the years, when the Lord saved me, when he saved you, we became a new creature in him.
Amen.
All things were passed away, and all things become new. And right off, I begin to read and to study the word of God. And so no man or woman has ever had to tell me how to live for God. I've always gone to the scripture.
Amen.
Because the word of God will teach us our standards for living for him.
Yes.
It teaches about our morals, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason today that people say they're saved and live as loose as they do because they have not gone to the scripture, the word of God. And God's word will never lead you astray. Now the word of God is like a compass that guides the people of God through the desert of this world. You know, back years ago when we traveled, we used old road maps. But then along some years ago come this gadget of the GPS. And I have 4 of them, and all of them lie. I mean, they'll send you, if you use them, you have found out, Brother Dave, you found out, they'll put you on the wrong exit, on the wrong road, way out in the country somewhere. And so they'll lead you astray. Many times in travels, going by that GPS, driving that rig out there and pulling that car, it's put me on a dead-end road where it goes nowhere. And so sometimes you can't trust them. But there's one thing we can do. We can trust the Bible,
Amen.
The word of God.
Right.
His word has never led us astray and will never lead us astray. It's our compass through this whole world. Then again, all around us, we see the results of abandoning the word of God. Our society has been cast adrift upon the sea of time without a rudder. Our nation and the world as a whole has abandoned the Ten Commandments and the Great Commandment and every other precept of God. And so we found the obvious results of this right here. People make foolish decisions. When they abandon the word of God, you know what happens? Then comes wickedness, immorality, and no standards. Never before have you and I ever seen such as we see today of people abandon God's word. You cannot abandon God's word and prosper by God. No church can abandon the word of God and prosper in the things of the Lord. Thank God for the word. We can rejoice in the word of God. So those who read the word of God, they honor the word of God. Those who read the word of God, they live by the word of God. And Psalms 119 and verses 105, all thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Also we find to know the truth in Proverbs 6:23, which says, for the commandments is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs are instructions of the way of life. God gives us instructions how to live, but many times we don't follow God's instruction. We don't follow the word of God. Then I want you to notice in verses 4 and 5, number 2, his word is personal. Now in his word, we learn about the Lord himself. His word is his revelation of himself to the world. So we learn that he does everything he does in truth, found in verses number 4 here. For the word of the Lord is right, and all of his works are done in truth. Now, let me back up for just a moment. In his word, we learn about the Lord himself.
Yes.
Now, for almost 60 years, I've been trying to learn all I can about God. How can I do that? By staying in his word.
Amen.
By reading his word and studying his word. My wife is sitting here. We have been married 66 years this past February. Can you imagine that? I met her at a restaurant, Hopping Curve, when I was 17 and she was 16. Now, I was on the way out to the car, and I seen her sitting in that car. I said to myself, I'm going to marry that girl. I had never said hello. Can you imagine that? Didn't know anything about the Bible in the Old Testament days. When a man found a woman, he skirted her and claimed her for his wife. And so I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I skirted her that day. And I spoke with her. She had freckles and long black hair. And I love freckles on a woman's face. And I just fell in love with her the first time I seen her. And I said to her, can I come to see you? And she said, you can. And I made a date, whatever that was. And I went to see her. And in those days, you didn't drive up in the yard or drive and blow the horn. You went in and met the family. Went back in the parlor, not the living room. That's what they called them in those days. Went back there with her, but her two sisters. I learned she was a baby girl of 13 children. And her two sisters back there with us. And I said to her, let's go to town and get some ice cream. She said, I'd like that, but you got to ask my daddy. And so I asked her daddy, and he said, sure, she can't go, but her two sisters got to go with you. All the way, well, I said, the only way I'm going to get you by myself is marry you. Will you marry me? She said, I'll think about it. 6 weeks later, we got married. Now, I didn't know much about her. But if you see me after service after 66 years, I'm going to tell you a whole lot about this person I've been married to for 66 years. Now, when I first got saved, I couldn't tell you much about the scripture. I know a little more than I did the day I got saved. But God is telling you and I. He said, I stand on my word. And he said, my word is my revelation of myself. I like that, don't you? So this reminds us that he will bless those who honor his word, and he will judge those who abandon his word. In verses 5 also teaches us that God's goodness can be seen in all the world through people like you and I. And all these truths teach us that the word of God is a revelation of the person of God. Now, not just any book. God has chosen to reveal himself in the pages of the word of God. In John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. We should praise him for his word because it reveals the nature of God. And then again, his word is powerful. In these verses, the psalmist reminds us that everything we see around us was spoken into existence by the word of God. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Everything that is visible, everything that is invisible, everything that is large, everything that is small, everything that is near, and everything that is far came into existence through the word of God. In Genesis chapter 1 and verses 3, God spoke for the first time. When he spoke light, light appeared out of darkness. And God said, when I'm reading the word of God, and I come to a phrase like this, and there's a comma, we better sit still. We're going to see the hand of God and the power of God move. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. In all of Genesis, I'm talking about all through Genesis 1, God kept speaking, and great things kept appearing. His word had power then, and the same word has power today. It has never lost its power, and thank God, it will never lose its power. Let me say again, every promise will be fulfilled. Our action will be judged based on his commands. The word of God is filled with power, glory, and hope. Listen to the testimony of his word about his word in Hebrews chapter 4, verses number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Then Psalms 119 in verses 8 and 9. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Nobody can change that. They can write all the Bibles they want to. They call the Bible. Every time they do, they take out deity. Back some weeks ago, our daughter Jeanette was having surgery at the Baptist Hospital on her knee. And her father-in-law lives in Charlotte, and her mother-in-law, and so they came to the hospital. And so I think a lot of her father-in-law, Mr. Sinclair, and he's a regular church-going man, and he's saved. He loves God. He said to me there in the waiting room, he said, I was in a bookstore the other day, and there was a Bible on the table sold for $110. And he said, there's one scratch on the front cover, but I was able to buy that Bible for $12. He said, it's that New King James Bible. What do you think about that? I said, I wouldn't have one. That's exactly what I said. I said, they have taken deity out. It don't make a good doorstop, sir. He turned every color. Because, I'll tell you what, there are some things I may tolerate, but there's one thing that I will not tolerate when they tamper with the Word of God. And God don't expect us to. The Bible teaches us now, God's Word is settled in heaven, and no one can ever change that. They may burn our churches, they may burn our Bibles, but they'll never change the Word itself. Then again, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, 16-17, all scripture, not part of scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we should praise him for his word because it is infused with divine power. It will stand, though the entire world stand against it. Isaiah 55, notice now, verses 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Amen. And that's one reason that you and I should rejoice in the word of God. If we're going to have revival, we got to stay with the book. Amen. We got to have God's word. Number two, we should rejoice in his will. Found in verses 10 now. Through verses number 12. Now Psalms 33 verses 10 through 12. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. And the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Get this. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the people whom that he had chosen for his own inheritance. In verses 11 now. His will is determined. The things that occur in this world are all a part of our Lord's plan for the ages. Nothing takes place that is not a part of his divine plan. God has a plan. No man, no angel is going to change the plans of God. God has a plan. He's going to stick with that plan. Now, some people, well, you can't pay a lot of attention to these people on television, these televangelists. I hear them say, I'm going to command God to do this. And I'm going to command the devil to do this. They're just so far out of context. God does what he pleases. Amen. And what he does it right. And God has a plan. Now, you and I, we make plans, and sometimes we move from the plan that we have. But God does. God looked down through time before he made his plans. Amen. The Bible said. Now, I know that doesn't sit well with some people, but God does have a plan. I hate to be the one to inform people that God's not going to change. Now, some people want them to think that they're in control. They are in charge. God help us today. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 11, remember the former things of old, for I am God. And there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Dear God, that's not to shout until we get to glory. He said, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasures, calling a ravished bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. That's what God says. Amen. That's the plan of God. In Psalms 135, verse number 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased that he did in heaven and in earth and in the seas and all the deep places. I like this one. In Daniel 4:35, and all the inhabitants of the earth reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Now, some people will not accept that, but let me say, that concept bothers a lot of people, but oh, it comforts me to be reminded that my God is still in control. He's still in control. That allows me to rest in his providence and trust him to make all things work out as they should for my good and for his glory. Romans 8:28, still in the Bible. Notice what it tells us now. And we know that all things, not part things, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This is God's plan. Sometimes we don't understand God's plan. It's not always on the mountaintop. Sometimes a trip to the hospital. Sometimes a trip to the cemetery of a friend or a loved one. Or things go wrong in the church. A preacher just called me this morning. He said, have you ever felt like shooting anybody? I said many times, but I didn't. But Dave, you know where he's coming from, don't you? And he went on to tell me about one of his members. He said, if I want to shoot a man, I want to shoot him yesterday. I said, but you didn't. He said, what's your advice? I said, shoot him and bury him. No, that's what I said to him, but I was kidding with him. But anyway, sometimes we take this verse. We can use it good when everything's running well. When the washing machine hadn't broke down, and when the dryer hadn't broke down, the refrigerator's still running, everything about the car's running good, got a good job, money's come in, got your bills paid, we can accept it. What about the valleys?
Right.
What about the time God has us down the lowest spot in our life? It's still there.
Right.
And God is saying, this is my plan. If we all lived on the mountaintop, we'd never be worth anything to God.
Right. Right.
It's the valleys and the trials, and no one enjoys, and the battles that causes us to grow in the grace of God. But we have the word that we can stand on. When all these other things in this world fail, the word will never fail. We can stand on the word of God. Then also, his will is desirable. The Bible said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he had chosen for his own inheritance. Now, the psalmist mentions the nations that honor God. He said, they will be blessed. Now, this is clearly seen in histories of America and Great Britain. Now, both of our nations were ruled by a series of men who, while not perfect, at least acknowledged God and declared their dependence upon him. But something has happened down through the years now. Think about this. Now that both nations have declared their independence from God, and we can see the results all around us. We have abandoned God, and he has abandoned us to our choice. Have you ever wondered why that our nation is in the shape it's in? Because our leaders, who leads us, has abandoned the word of God. They know nothing about God, know nothing about the Bible, and God will not bless a nation or listen that abandons the word of God. Now, across this country, people ask me, Brother Fryan, will we ever have revival in our churches again? Not like in the 60s and 80s. We still are falling away. People are losing heart today.
Yes.
They're fainting by the wayside. We'll never have those days, but every individual that's saved can have revival.
Yes.
And churches can have revival.
Yes.
Because today we see churches in America who's abandoned the word of God.
Yes.
Old time churches that used to stand and preach and sing and honor God, use their musical talents for God, no longer does that anymore. They don't even preach the Bible no more. And they come to church and give people a little tickle behind the ear and send them home just as empty as it was when they come to the house of God.
Yes. Right.
Why? Because not only nations, not only churches and individuals, they have abandoned the word of God, and that's why God's not blessing. Now, I never thought this. Let me just put this in. I never thought in my time, that I would see women pastoring churches. I never thought in my time I'd ever see homosexuals pastoring churches. Never in my time that I would ever think that I would see two men stand before some clergy to pronounce them husband and wife, or two women. Never thought I'd see that in my time. And then I never thought I'd ever see like that plane killed, this guy deliberately killed 150 people the other day. Run that plane into that mountain. A plane disappeared over a year ago and I can't find it. Does that tell you where we are today? They are missing with all the technology that we have things are happening that we don't understand, but I'm going to stand on the Word of God.
Amen.
God is showing you and I how close we are to the end time. We better stand with the Bible. That's why we should rejoice in the Word of God. Do you see anything this world rejoice over? I don't. But in God we can rejoice. Our time is drawing near. For a man to make his plans without consulting the will of God is to reject him as creator. In Isaiah 29, verses 15 to 16 says, "Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us? Who knoweth us? And sure your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as a potter's clay." God has a plan. "For shall the work say of him that made it, It made me not, or shall the thing that framed say of him that framed it, He had no understanding?" Let me say, ladies and gentlemen, God took dust and formed man, breathed in his nostrils, he became a living soul. I didn't come from a monkey. I didn't come from a tadpole or a frog. I believe in God's creation, in God's evolution. That's what I preach and stand on. I'm not going with the world. I don't care what they say.
Amen.
And they said, "Why did God do this?" God has a reason. Why would God make a man and know a man's going to turn against him? Well, you have to ask God that when you get to heaven. Some things we don't know.
Right.
But I do know one thing. He never stopped loving me.
Amen.
He never stopped loving you. He will never stop loving us.
Right.
I'm glad I found a place where there's sweet peace and rest. Where's that? At the foot of Calvary.
Amen.
And when I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I'm thirsty, he gives me drink. God will always be God. His word will always be there. Then I must go on. Then again, let me say, number three, we should rejoice in his watching. In Psalms 33 and verses 13 to 15, the Lord looketh from heaven. Now, he said, "He beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fasteth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works." His watching is absolute. Now, our God is in heaven, but his eyes on the affairs of man from where he sits today. God sees everything that takes place. He sees it all. There is no deed, no thought, no sin, or good work that can occur without his knowledge, without him knowing about that. When we're down in the valley, we can't see much. We're surrounded by mountains. But once, and God said, you go through the valley. You don't stay in the valley all the time. But once we go through the valley, there's always a mountain. Once we go up the mountain, get to the top of the mountain, and look back where we was, we have a clear view of where we came from. God sits on his throne today. He's looking upon all things, upon the good and the bad.
Yes.
And I know that you and I serve a God who could change everything in an instant of time. But he doesn't. And he won't. Because it won't be long till we're going home to be with him.
Amen.
The Bible said in Hebrews 4:13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." He knows every deed. In Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." He knows every thought. In Psalms 139, verse number 2, "Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprise, and thou understandest my thoughts afar off." Then again, we find in Jeremiah 17:10, he knows every motive behind every action. "I, the Lord, search your heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." And then the Bible says in Matthew 12:36, he hears every idle word. "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." And so he knows everything there's to know, and nothing can be hid from him. So that is a sobering thought. But the idea showcases his power, why he is worthy of our praise. And then again, in verses 16 and 17, is watching his word. Now, God watches the heathen as they make their plans and set their armies in array. So God, who controls all the things, takes, listen, an interest in your life and in mine. Now, his eye is on those who fear him and upon those who hope in his mercy. Now, those individuals who have looked to the Lord for their soul salvation are recipients of his tender watch care and his promise in verses number 19. Get this verse now. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. There's something about that word famine that stands out to this preacher. Now, the Lord, over the years, has allowed myself and my wife to travel to some third world countries on the mission field to carry the gospel. We have gone to some, but it hadn't rained in 8 months. And they stand in dust ankle deep. And they live from the earth, no stores to buy food from. I've seen people in my time in those countries stand in line as far as I could see to get a bowl of rice and die of starvation. I've seen them cut a piece of cactus off, no water, to get a little moisture, keep them thirsting to death. I've seen them strip leaves off the trees to get a little moisture. I've seen that. That's a famine. And go to bed, not one night, every night, hungry and no food. That's a famine. When the earth is producing nothing, and there's a drought, and nothing is growing, that's a famine. But I believe this now. Here in America, there's people slept on the streets last night, homeless. People in America, they went to bed hungry last night. But that's sitting in this office today, we went to bed hungry because we chose to do that. We have a little something to eat in our house. But now, it's terrible to see people when even they kill their own children to stay alive. That's a famine. But let's come closer home. What are we suffering? Not in America, but in the world. There's a famine of the preaching of the Word of God.
Yes.
What's going to keep us alive? I'm talking about the Word of God. This old physical body is going to die, go back to that, but we're talking about the spiritual life that we have.
Right.
I never thought this, neither did you, dear folk. Never thought there'd be a time. We always thought our churches, all of them would be old-fashioned churches. They'd always preach the book.
Yes.
But it's not. I believe in schooling. I believe in our seminaries. But most of our good seminaries are gone now to train our young men. They've gone liberal. You know that. Charismatic. So our young people, young preachers coming out today, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for a church that's already built. But they're not interested with a handful of people. They want hundreds at the beginning. They want to drive the finest automobile. They want to live in the finest house. And if you talk to them under 100,000 years, they're not going to be your pastor. I know what I'm preaching about, folks.
That's true.
You don't find many going out like we old timers went out. Money was never mentioned. We were just happy to preach on the street,
amen,
preach in the jail,
yes,
to carry the gospel to a dying world. But we don't have that no more. In Old Testament days, they killed the prophets and they ran them off. And there came a time that they wanted preaching, but they had nobody to bring them the message. You know what America's suffering from today? Talking about church doors locking, closing down 500 in North Carolina a year, closing their doors. I just heard that. That's astounding, friend. Just closing their doors, selling, and listen, bar rooms taking them over. This is awful. What has happened? There are those, now get this very quickly. You folk that I'm preaching to this morning are the foundation of the church. You are the foundation. And I don't worry about you because I don't believe you'll compromise the word. But what's happened in our Baptist church, I don't know about Baptist folk now, what's happened in our Baptist churches, these young preachers come in with no biblical standards, no conviction. And the first thing you know, little by little, they begin to change things. And finally, one day, the older people wake up and said, well, that preaching is different than what I used to hear. That's not the songs that we used to sing. But now he's got a hold of the church. What happened? Then our foundation moves away. They start searching, looking for something. Why? Because they've got to hear the word. And that's why today we're losing the foundation of our church. And that's why our church is getting where they are today. I see this everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. I just cancel a meeting I refuse to go to because they went charismatic. And they went to all this contemporary stuff. I will not preach in churches like that.
Amen.
You know why? Because I preach against that. I want the church to come alive.
Amen.
And do something for God, to believe the Bible, the Word of God. So today, if we don't get back and get some preachers. Now listen, the Bible said in the Old Testament they died. And New Testament they died and we died. Our preachers are being called home. We got to get back to the Word of God. We need some young preachers got fire with God.
Amen.
And got some stickability. So that's a famine. Then again, the Bible teaches us something else. In Matthew 6, 25 through 33, also he will secure us. He will take care of his own. Now the Bible tells us, God made you a promise. And God made me a promise that he's going to take care of us, supply our every need. That's a promise from God. We can stay on that. Now, when God called me to preach, he didn't promise me a large congregation. He said, where two or three are gathered.
Yes.
I still believe that. I still preach that today.
Amen.
And the day that I won't preach to one person, I shall never preach to 100.
Right. Yes.
Because that one person needs to be preached to like 100
Amen.
Needs to be preached to.
True.
As I conclude, the psalmist closes with this psalm by expressing his resolve to continue trusting in the Lord. So we can rest in his word. We can rest in his will. We can rest in his watching. So I ask you this morning, has the Lord touched your heart in some manner?
Amen.
Are you praising him like he deserves to be praised? Let me say, church, this morning, if you look through that naked eye and the things you see, that causes you to quit praising God, you don't have much.
Right.
We praise God because of the word.
Amen.
I cannot look my naked eye what I see in the world, but did I never praise God? I would never get up in the morning, but I'm going to stay with the word, aren't you? We have every reason in this world to praise God at Faith Baptist Church this morning. Every reason in the world. See, God meets with those who want to meet with him. So have you been distracted by some issue or some maybe mega church that took your eyes away from where you are and serve the Lord? I preach this, I believe this. Get where God wants you to be and stay where God wants you to be.
Amen.
And just rejoice in his word and be happy in the Lord.
Yes.
That's my message. Would you stand, please? Brother Bill, do we have an invitation? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for moments together. Thank you for the goodness of God.
Yes.
Thank you for the liberty that the Lord has been mine to preach for you today. And thank you for the word. Lord, help me always give folk your word. Help me to stay in the word. Preach the word. Encourage those that might be discouraged. Save the lost, I pray. Bring those to all that needs to come. In Christ's name I pray. Amen, Brother Bill.
Page 394, I surrender all. 394.